This is the Insurance Law Podcast, brought to you by Best Recommended Insurance Attorneys.
Welcome to the Insurance Law Podcast, the broadcast about timely and important legal issues affecting the insurance industry. I'm John Zuba, Managing Editor of Best's Recommended Insurance Attorneys, including Expert Service Providers. We're pleased to have with us again today Expert Service Provider Dan Thompson, President and CEO of DG Rehabilitation Technologies, with offices in Ontario, Canada, and in Arizona. Dan has worked with the litigation arena for over 26 years. He is a registered rehabilitation professional, registered vocational professional, and a certified life planner. His company services include providing expert opinion to insurance carriers, attorneys, and medical professionals by assessing the needs and vocational capabilities for people with disabilities. And Dan, we're very pleased to have you with us again today.
Thank you very much for having me, and I look forward to the podcast.
Thanks, Dan. Today's topic for discussion is home modifications. And Dan, for our first question today, what are home modifications and what impact do they have on insurance claims?
Well, home modifications may consist of ramps, elevators, low threshold, wider doorways, ceiling lifts, or other modifications such as hardwood flooring to ensure a place is wheelchair accessible. In other words, to meet the person's physical needs. That may also include wheel under counters, grab bars, low light switches, higher electric outlets, or non-slip flooring in bathrooms, anti-spill devices, for example, to make sure that the shower heads aren't burning people, environmental controls, or even a backup generator to ensure that critical equipment, such as ventilators, will continue to operate despite power outages. Having said that, John, if someone, let's say, is deaf, their accommodations may include a TTY or a telephone text machine to ensure that they can communicate with the outside world. It may also include flashing lights instead of an alarm bell, if, of course, there's smoke or carbon monoxide within the home. And, of course, if the individual is blind, and I'm actually working on a case right now in the east coast of Canada for an individual who is blind, and because they lived in a group home setting, the standard of care has come into play. So to make things more accessible for them, that may include talking appliances to improve their safety, and it may also be a matter of having the home reorganized and ensuring that things are maintained in the same spot. So if they've got good ergonomics, and you know that the sofa is located in the middle of the room, then they're less likely to trip over it or have it become an inconvenience for them. So those are some examples, I think, of that. And then, of course, it would be the insurance company's responsibility to make sure that they maintain that for that individual, both now and in the future.
Dan, how about any differences between the United States and Canada in terms of how home modifications are dealt with by the insurance industry?
Well, sure. In Ontario, which is where I live half the year, there's been a whole cottage industry that has developed for companies who do home modifications. And in essence, John, what they end up doing is their floor plans to make the home accessible will be a matter of moving the kitchen to the bedroom over, into the other area. And their objective really is to try to jack up the cost so that it's so expensive to renovate the existing home that they end up buying a brand new home for that individual. Well, as I'm sure you can appreciate, the problem with that is, this individual may be a fourth generation person who's received government subsidies or it'll be a fourth generation welfare person, and the whole point of an insurance settlement is to maintain their lifestyle or to ensure that they can do the things they did before. Well, if you take somebody, of course, that was poor or didn't have a whole lot of money, it doesn't make sense to have the settlement become a windfall for them, because obviously that's going to, prejudice the amount of money that they need. So, in essence, if we look at it from that perspective, I think it's important to only give them what they need and not necessarily what they want.
So overall, what's the average cost or lifetime costs for home modifications, Dan?
Well, I mean, that's an interesting question. Here in the United States, of course, we have legislation set up by the Veterans Administration. And what they do is they look at the fact that they've averaged about $64,000 for the average cost to renovate a home. And to me, that makes much more sense, because if you think of $20,000 to renovate a bathroom to make that wheelchair accessible, about another $20,000 to make a kitchen wheelchair accessible, and $10,000, I think most jurors can see that as being a reasonable cost. The problem with those cottage industry companies that we talked about before is that they also do not take equity into consideration. So I think, in my opinion, when we set up a life care plan, yes, there should be accommodations for an individual who, in essence, needs to have their home accessible for them. But I think it should be a one-time cost. I don't think that every time they move that we should be renovating each new home. If they've been given $64,000 or $50,000, depending on you know what number is agreed upon by plaintiffs and defense, then that, as I said, should be that one cost deal, and that we shouldn't have to renovate when they move from Seattle to Florida or to Tallahassee or whatever the case may be. So,
Dan, who should typically cover the costs?
Well, I mean, obviously the whole point of having insurance and to have that settlement is that I think the insurance companies should be paying that. Now, having said that, if you take individuals who are injured outside of the litigation arena, then there are government subsidies. So as I mentioned, there's programs through the Veterans Administration to help cover those costs. I guess in a way, of course, Veterans Administration is also government and or slash insurance as well. But in Ontario, for example, the March of Dimes, of course, has a program where they will subsidize part of the cost of ensuring the home is wheelchair accessible. So I would say that if you're inside the insurance arena, or if you're looking at a settlement, those costs, of course, will be covered by the insurance carrier. And if you're outside of that, then probably government subsidies will come into play.
And Dan, what do you see for home renovations or modifications in the future?
Well, I see more developments in terms of smart homes. So right now, of course, we've got everything from, you know, you can monitor on your phone what's happening at your house. So you can see if there's an intruder or burglars of some sort. You, of course, can regulate the temperature in the home. So you can turn up the heat or turn up the air conditioning or turn it down if you're going to be away for a vacation. So I see more developments in that area to just ensure that the home is going to be more convenient and accessible, you know, for individuals with disabilities. But keep in mind, John, if we look at the telephone, which is a revolutionary device that was developed, you know, over 100 years ago by Alexander Graham Bell, he designed that initially to accommodate his wife's hard of hearing or her deafness. And yet, everybody uses the telephone. I mean, I'm sure it's an epidemic with young children who use their cell phones nowadays instead of developing their social skills. So, to me, although I see more developments in that area, they may not necessarily be an extraordinary cost that needs to be put into a life care plan. It may be something that just comes automatic, you know, into new homes as they're developed.
Dan, thanks so much for joining us today.
Don, thank you very much, and look forward to doing one of these in the future.
That was Dan Thompson, President and CEO of DG Rehabilitation Technologies, with offices in Arizona and Ontario, Canada. And you can learn more about Dan's company at dgrehab.com. Special thanks to today's producer, Frank Bowinkle. And thank you all for joining us with the Insurance Law Podcast. To subscribe to this audio program, go to our webpage, www.ambest.com/claims-resource. If you have any suggestions for a future topic regarding an insurance law case or issue, please email us at lawpodcast@ambest.com. I'm John Zuba, and now this message.
Best Insurance Professionals and Claims Resource is the top website for locating qualified professionals and need-to-know insurance information for the claims market. Brought to you by AM Best, the world leader in insurance industry information. Visit ambest.com/claims resource.